passage, here they must burst into tears. Here, Gustav, just here. He had looked up from his score. Here they must burst into tears. He said simply and with as much innocence as William Blake looking casually out of the window and seeing angels. Dear me, we have wandered. The critics, always the critics. Sometimes I wonder how we would defend ourselves if there were no critics to attack. But listen to this. Using the pretext of early morning deadlines, they had all left en masse before the audience demonstration. The evening papers too. The brew was the same, out of the same pot. Unanimous contempt. Patience, more than patience. You, Almy, you beside me. It helped me so much with my third that you understood it so well. Incidentally, I have dropped the program notes. Young Schoenberg was at the concert, and I quote from his kind note, I saw your very soul naked, stark naked. It was revealed to me as a stretch of wild and secret country with eerie chasms. Of course, I was pleased and flattered. Later, it would take some of the sting off the reviews. But most of all, what do you think was running in circles around my mind all this time? Guess. I was trying to remember. Now, what was it that I promised my Alma Lily Lily I would bring her back from Berlin? You warned me I would forget, and I keep asking myself, perhaps she will not be too offended that she can't wait patiently for our next stroll by the lovely stores on the Kartnerstrasse. Dearest one, I am so much concerned about your health since the scarf that I bought you, do you wear it when you go out? You must take proper care of yourself. What would I do without you? Soon, soon I will be home to look after you. Looking after me. Gustav. Gustav. It was my first experience of real labor pains. Blow after blow tearing up my insides. If I had not been so debilitated already, I would have dashed my head against the bedpost, pain against pain. My teeth bit against each other. Still I shrieked. The sound of an animal came out of my throat. Gustav rushed into the bedroom, alarmed, stopping short at the door. He was completely at a loss. Fill a basin with hot water, call for help. I twisted my limbs, I moaned. He froze. Not knowing what else to do, he moaned in the same key. All at once, an inspiration. He assumes the conductor's stance and raises his hand before me for complete silence. Something about him gives me confidence. I keep my trembling lips tight pressed together. I watch him enter the living room. He pauses before the bookcase. A medical book for reference. Now he returns, and I swear that it is true. He began reading Immanuel Kant to me. Page after page of this incomprehensible philosophy, droning on and on the same note. How could I stop him? He was so pleased with himself. So assured that he was helping me, smiling before turning the next page. Moreover, it worked. I fell asleep. One more anecdote. Mahler at the dentist. The waiting room is crowded with patients trying not to look too hard at each other. Suddenly, with a crash, the door to the consultation room bursts open. Out flies Gustav with a napkin still around his neck, having left the dental chair rather impulsively. Only, only tell me which tooth is the one hurting me. Got to be angry with him. suddenly he comes out at you like an imp from the forest, hair bristling out in all directions, eyes burning fire on his tongue, completely out of reason's reach, completely insane. It's not possible. You look once more, and again you find a little boy grinning without his front teeth, playing games in which his are all the roles. Listen to the story his father tells. They would sometimes take walks together in the forest, and one day it became necessary to leave Gustav behind, sitting on a tree stump while he attended to some urgent unfinished business he had just remembered. Several hours passed. It had been impossible to return immediately. Gustav was exactly where he had placed him, his face turned to the dark of the woods and the soft twilight world of elves and fairies, the woodsman's horn and cricket solo obbligato. He was scarcely 5 years old. I believe he had begun to compose. She continues reading. For myself, I have begun to feel the years. At last count, not quite, but in the vicinity of 50 of them, all crowding together. These days I have become attuned to my own silences, walking, reading, listening to myself, trying to comprehend my resignation from the material things of this world. In this quiet, I can hear the beating of my heart, astounding myself by its sheer, dogged persistence. And the incredible range. I wonder whether this is what Dr. Amperl heard. Listen, adagio. Now it seems to be skipping a beat. What is this, agita? I can see the vein moving up and down on my wrist. Ach, this is not a game one should be playing. You know, I did consult Dr. Amperl again. A slight valvular defect entirely compensated for. That was his prognosis. No cause for concern. I will be able to keep on conducting. Yes, Liebstab. At this time of day, the shops are all closed, except for some trinket and trash souvenir places, and that I know wouldn't suit you at all. After all, what is good enough for my darling's birthday? What else is there to give when one has given oneself? Yet I wonder about you. If it came to a choice between me and Salzburger marzipan, I simply adore marzipan. When I saw him off on the train, I warned him, I will be waiting right here when you return. If I don't see the confectioner's packet under your arm, back you go on the train. Next train. Sure enough, I was there. Under the glass roof of the station, watching his train return from Salzburg. I saw him first, nose pressed flat against the pane, eyes straining to focus while he cleaned his glasses. Now he was fussing with the window, muttering to himself while he tries to raise it. He's on the platform now, handing his bags over to the porter, with one finger under the string he was carrying that all-important box of marzipan. In the other, his hat, never on his head. It was cruel, carrying it this far. I knew how easily Gustav tended to feel abandoned, but I forgave myself for this most rare and dispassionate portrait. For example, I had never really noticed just how eccentrically he walked. Head poked forward, off balance, the parts of his body never seeming to come together. One foot brushing against the other, like a small boy having to go and restrain himself. That expensive suit already bulging in the wrong places. Unexpectedly, he turned and saw me. No, not abandoned Gustav. His face beamed. Almi! All his breath was in that trumpet. I waved to him, he waved to me, raising both hands ecstatically. That was the end of the marzipan. There was Gustav on his knees, ruefully trying to assemble the broken pieces in the open box. A crowd was forming around him. Everyone in Vienna knew Mahler. I managed to pull him away, leaving it all to the porter. His shoulders sank. He was pathetic. My poor little boy. Will you not be sending me back to Salzburg? She continues reading, now, my dears, to the crux, and I hope the exact spiritual center of our troubled story. Since you are more likely to adopt the new insights of Freud rather than the vision of Christ, it pleases me that you compromise with Goethe, whose art is more fashion theory, whose intuition sometimes enters heaven, Faust and Gretchen again. At least with Gretchen I can see you reaching out for the light. I can anticipate the heights to which you may yet aspire. As the heavens part, I am both dazzled and overwhelmed by the number of secret places I have kept hidden from myself. Above all, from myself. Could the reason be thus? Our disappointment would be unbearable if we permitted ourselves to believe, and it were not true. Can I possibly describe what I have never experienced before, except in terms we both know and accept and understand by comparison? As death is to life, that much further apart is this new awakening. I am born again. I breathe music. The notes in our musical vocabularies alone or in combination do not exist to describe the celestial sounds I am all at once permitted to hear. All this time I have been flying with my feet tied to the earth. I have been the fool of God. Go. Invent the instruments to play this new music. Yet I am bound to a rational world, were it not for the restlessness that love evokes and my singular passion for transcendence. How could I pull this captive body free of the nets, spirit intact, and soar over and beyond the forest of words and notes, forms, colors, taking the last road to where there are no more roads, leaping into the darkness, groping upward through the great womb, breaking into the light toward, call it consciousness in space, the place in the universe where the breath of God returns to its source. I have left behind the longings of the earth. I have stopped trying to warm my frozen heart with the cold fires of classicism. Only by faith, and by faith alone, will it be possible to step outside this tired shell. Therein is the passion and mystery of the eternal feminine. We comprehend God by knowing the child at her breast. I heard this blessed serenity at the close of my eighth, and it became a prayer that rose in a cathedral of clouds. This work of my soul in life and in death, I dedicate to my dear intercessor, to my own alma, entrusting fulfillment of that sacramental vow made solemn by marriage to share the best of myself. This is our symphony, more yours than mine. Alma folds the letter. Here, they must burst into tears. Nicht wahr, Gustav? You forgot my songs. How you do triumph for the both of us. The 8th symphony by Alma Mahler. But who believes it? You loved music, not Mahler. One of my lovers told me that. Well, I am singing my song. For once, this is not the passion of Mahler, according to Mahler. You say that I never reply to your letters. Could I ever say that what I wanted to say? The secret places, straight from the secret place, angry, unedited. Suddenly, there is an actual transcription of Mahler on the piano, playing with his own hands his own 4th symphony. The music finally reaches her consciousness. The effect is startling. That is his touch. Mahler on the piano. I wouldn't know it anywhere. The stage lights in a slow dim. The Mahler poster is spotlighted. She glares at it for a moment. He must be playing somewhere. She searches out the direction of the sound, scurrying off stage. Gustav? 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 The end of Act One.
Really delighted. My mind is beginning to churn with plans for our production.
We discussed that over dinner. It must be.
No,
you know what you bring out so beautifully is the way in which, in the deeper part of herself, she did understand Mahler. The ambiguity within herself, which you've gotten into the lines, but which weren't brought out before. That it's not just that she's sort of was too vulgar to reach his height, but that she did at moments reach his height. And then when the letter soars, she responds totally to it. And then she can't go that far, but it's just beautifully done.
I agree. I think there is that thing in marriages where it's so, the two people grow so close that it's just filled with, understanding and anger and rage and deep respect. It has that whole range of things.
I don't know
which one is going to serve.
You've made it much more universal for most, as Martin did too. Mm-hmm. It is a universal statement about marriage comes out very well in the way you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Here I am, boss.
Act two.
Okay, everybody, where are we?
Act two.
I always do that.
I'm terrible. The reaper break. Gordon's on the phone.
Oh, of course. I did that actually automatically. When I teach and we take a break, I say, okay, I don't give anybody a chance to take the break. I mean, I say, okay, all right, ready? Let's go.
Let me ask you a few questions
in
the exhibition. Can you conceive of doing this part? Or are you really putting all the forces together with Ed?
I really haven't even given that a thought.
Yeah,
I just thought about it as a reading.
I know, I gather that. Can you conceive of our sort of putting our forces together and see what we can come up with in a way of a production?
I think I would put it this way. I am committed to some other productions, so that I couldn't conceive of myself putting my thoughts with yours to help get it going.
Yeah.
But if it were there and going, one would have to say, well, let me see, sure. I really do have some...
Well, this may be a little premature in terms of our later discussion, but Daniel and I there are many things happening with the play right now. It's sort of bouncing around usual crazy circus
it bounces
and everybody watches and people have much comment, much praise and much before this thing comes to life, it needs a lot more people of the possible experience.
Yeah, I don't know that it's commercial. I really don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a good business sense, and I'm not in touch with that part of other people have. But I'm not sure that it is. I don't know. Has anybody said to you, everybody will want to come to see this play?
The essence of most commentaries have been that it depends on the actress.
Yes, if you get a very famous name actress, maybe
they say one thing, but I don't quite agree with it. Because I think considering Mahler's status in our present society, and particularly with theater goers, mm-hmm. and people who are, conscious of, who are involved in the arts, mm-hmm. Mahler's really at the height of his fame. And he is tremendously commercial as a production. And I mean, if the people who bought Mahler's records and an enormous audience, self-made audience.
Yeah, when I say that I didn't know, I don't have a knack for understanding that aspect.
When I originally submitted this, I had my first idea was that it was not a play. I would like to try to get it into a London production first. And there was somebody who read the play, happened to be in the musical field whatsoever, who became a pilgrim in terms of trying to get it to the right people. And he got it to the National Theatre, and they were immensely interested. They held it for 7 months. And then they finally decided in favor of a play called Amadeus, which is written by the author of, fellow wrote Equus and fairly well-known playwright. Anyhow, there was a minority view for Mahler, but Equus, the man standing as a playwright is.
And Amadeus doesn't mean Mozart.
It was a play about Mozart, and it just so happened it won considerable awards. And just now I returned from Washington. It was a complete. I couldn't get a ticket for it by no means.
It was done where?
In Washington, preliminary to a Broadway opening.
From the London Theatre.
Yeah.
It was done where, at the Arena Stage?
No, it's at the National Theatre in Washington.
Yeah, the Kennedy Center, is that the one?
The Kennedy Center. So it was. Enormously successful.
Is it a many character play?
Well, predominantly it's two characters.
Two characters.
I there are many characters, but they're kind of background. It's mainly the story of Salieri and Mozart. It's based on a false premise,
which is an approach to behavior that has to do with genetics.
This is something you have done many, many years.
Oh, that's right.
And is this your work still?
No. They decided that the changes that I had tried to institute 20 years ago were what they wanted to have.
Yeah.
And so it's a marvelous opportunity to go with the wisdom of 20 more years, So it's very exciting for me. You are so beautiful, my dear. You really are. Your hair looks just lovely. I was wondering if I couldn't light you more from the front, but I think it would bounce off your glasses.
I'm happy. I can see, if you can see.
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
And
are
I
you okay?
See, no.
Okay, fine.
Mitch cuts my hair at the Hub Beauty Parlor right next to the grocery store. He's terrific. You must go to him.
My hair is long. What can I do? But... Oh, Beatrice, thank you. Uh-huh.
Well, I'm really, this is just a marvelous party, and I'm happy to be at it. And I'm glad my friend Louise is here.
So am I.
Well, I'm glad you are under the
thank
circumstances.
Thank you for having
me.
One of our other pal who was supposed to come, Ruth Cox, is a young actress, and she apparently was chosen from this post. She reads for a play that's going to be done in New York.
Yeah. so well known, Mozart is hardly remembered, except as a child prodigy.
Uh-huh.
And
he was
completely overlooked in favor of Salieri. However, the contention of the play is that Salieri, being a devoted to his art, recognized the superior genius of Mozart. And recognizing it, he decided, like the fairest of all, he decided to murder and to poison Mozart.
That's what they think. At the end, one doesn't know.
Well, this is the myth that's sprung up.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it's the kind of myth that springs up, you know, very often, like with Kennedy and everybody else.
Yeah.
There's always fearing that there's... Uh-huh. The conspiracy is larger than it was.
Oh, so that's what the play is about, his last years?
Yeah, and Mozart is portrayed as an pimply-faced Bulgarian who has a dozen mistresses, and Salieri as the searcher for his superiority in art.
Uh-huh.
I think the premise is ridiculous, actually. You know, there's a play, a Pushkin wrote a play, yeah.
Not so much that he had mistresses, no, but that he was this man whose music really is so elegant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect. But he chose a rather ordinary woman to be his wife.
Yeah.
And he chose her for very ordinary reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, he liked to go to bed with her.
Yeah.
It was easy to go to bed with this woman, and this was the one.
Well, he preferred his sister initially, was that so?
Earlier, you mean before her?
She was second choice.
She jilted him because she thought he was a comic figure.
The sister who was a singer.
The sister was the more soulful type, but she rejected him as beneath her, and then he married the sister on the rebound.
The really ordinary, very ordinary woman. But he loved her. Apparently, he really was quite satisfied.
This sort of came at the downgrade of his. As a matter of fact, in the play, going through a great deal about this thing with Mozart, where the point was that she really, Alma uses her as an example. What do you get if you marry one of these famous men? And what did Constanza get? Met a man who was constantly ill, who had to borrow a wig to appear before the court.
I totally agree with Alma.
Yeah. Well, the marriage ended up... Well, the question that Gustav followed is the implication of sort of a kind of backward glance at his own fate, in which he said, after Mozart, who?
Not at all.
And Alma immediately understands this, after Mahler, who would be worthy of her after, who would be worthy of this successor, after Mahler or to Mozart. But she defends her.
Excuse me, Beatrice, would you say if this bothers you?
Thank you, it's better over there.
Oh, you're so selfish.